It's time for Rush Hour with Danny Burke, presented by Bet Rivers.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome into Rush Hour, presented by Bet Rivers. I'm Danny Burke, live at the Bet Rivers Sportsbook in Des Plaines, Illinois, just outside of Chicago. If you're watching us on the Marquee Network, thanks for tuning in. Got a great show planned for you this evening. Former NFL offensive lineman Jeff Schwartz will be joining the program in about 5 minutes or so. We'll just get his thoughts all around the league and the NFL. Just up to this point, really, any handicapping advice he has, because as we know, he spent a lot of time in the league and is now translated to covering that and doing a lot of betting himself. So very interested to hear his thoughts on everything regarding the COVID situations, how that not only affects the players, but from himself as a bettor as well. So we'll go over some of the games coming up this week in NFL Week 7, specifically throughout the NFC North. We'll take a look at the NFC North division odds as well. Plus, we'll do a recap of the weekend as we typically do here on the program, calling it a Rivers recap. We'll see how the book fared from behind the counter, how the bettors looked, what percent of money was where on all of the biggest games throughout the NFL this past weekend. So we'll be sure to dive into that in about 25 minutes or so. Plus, we have the World Series to look forward to. Cannot wait for that to get off tonight. What we've been implementing as well is we've been looking at different angles besides usual spread, total, and money line for the full game, which, of course, we'll get to. But we like to look at it from different perspectives, being the first five inning props. We got some strikeout props for Glasnow and Kershaw as well. So we'll get into all the unique ways you can bet tonight's game one of the World Series between the Rays and the Dodgers. And to end things off, I got a bet in the NFL we'll get to. And plus, we'll talk some really deep analytics with our friend Steve Mackinnon, editor of Point Spread Weekly. Remember, to get a hold of that, just go to beeson.com/subscribe. All the amazing insight you could ever want to really give you the perfect tools to enhance your handicapping. So we'll discuss that with him in regards to the game tonight for the World Series, all the probabilities for how that series may finish out. And then we'll talk some Big Ten football with him as well. I know he's got a lot of good trends to look forward to, specifically in regards to the Big Ten starting this weekend. So a bunch to get to on the program. Before we get to a preview of the game tonight, let's really quick recap our bets from last night with Danny's Dimes. It was a nice night for us here on the show. We had the Cardinals money line, which, you know, for about 7 minutes or, well, I guess it was the first quarter, you could say. It was a little bit of a worrisome bet, but then that came to fruition very nicely with the Cardinals just absolutely dominating throughout the whole game. And then, of course, another one that we really did not have to sweat whatsoever, Kenyon Drake rushing yards over 59.5. Well, he ended up with 164 rushing yards. He got over that prop in just one run at 1.2. So that was really nice to see on that side, getting a nice 2-0 night and improving to 17-6 overall in our NFL best bets so far this year. Of course, we'll look to keep that rolling, as I have one bet to look forward to this weekend. Like we said, we'll talk about that later on in the show. But let's go ahead and get to the pregame rush, where we give you the updated lines for the World Series tonight with the Dodgers and the Rays. And we'll start with the opener in this one. Los Angeles opened as the favorite at about minus 165. Tampa Bay, the dog, at about plus 144. The total opened at around 8. That's dropped down to about 7.5 at most shops. At Bet Rivers, it is at 7.5, minus 109 each way. Money line wise, the Dodgers still at about minus 165 or so. Plus 143 is what we're seeing toward the Rays. This one's just been going back and forth and back and forth most of the day. Run line wise, if you want to dabble with the Dodgers on the run line, think they can win this game by at least 2, you're getting some decent value at plus 135. If you want to take the run and a half with Tampa Bay, you're laying minus 165. And so what's the pitching matchup we have to look forward to tonight? Well, we get the southpaw Clayton Kershaw. In this postseason so far, he's 2-1. He's pitched 19 innings, allowed 16 hits, 7 earned runs, 3 of them being home runs, 2 walks, 23 strikeouts, posting a 3.32 ERA, a 2.81 xFIP, which of course is really solid from Kershaw, and then also really solid, a whip of 0.95. Now, how do the Rays stack up offensively against lefties? In the regular season, they hit 795 OPS. In the postseason against southpaws, they've hit 745 OPS. And opposing the Dodgers on the mound tonight will be the big man, Tyler Glasnow. Throughout this postseason, he's pitched in 4 games, but really only has gone 2-1 because one of the games it was only 2.1 innings pitched. He's allowed 10 earned runs, 6 of them home runs, 8 walks, and 25 strikeouts. A 4.66 ERA with an xFIP a little bit higher of 3.74, and same with the WHIP, but not too shabby at 1.29 for the WHIP or Tyler Glasnow as he's going against that potent Los Angeles Dodgers offense tonight. Welcome into Rush Hour, presented by Bet Rivers. I'm Danny Burke with VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Of course, you can always follow me on Twitter at DannyBurke5. You can follow the show on Twitter at VSiN Live. And we are live here at the Bet Rivers Sportsbook in Des Plaines, Illinois, just outside of Chicago, getting you geared up for some NFL Week 7 action, the World Series tonight. And we'll take a look back at this past weekend and recap how the handle went for the book, the bettors, and a bunch more. But speaking of the NFL, let's bring in a friend of the program, Jeff Schwartz, former NFL offensive lineman. You can catch him on Twitter at Jeff Schwartz. You can catch him all over SiriusXM doing great stuff with their NFL station, the Pac-12 Today station as well. So, Jeff, thanks for joining the show this evening, my man. How you doing?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
I am doing excellent. You know, we're excited for... Really, I mean, just there's buzz, of course, around here in the Chicagoland area with what we've seen from the Bears. And I want to get to that in a sec with you because I'm very curious your thoughts, because I know you made an interesting comment about Ryan Fitzpatrick and everything. I think it was today on Twitter, so I want to get to that in a second. But let's go ahead and just go in order. Let's start with Thursday night football with the Giants and the Eagles. Now, maybe not necessarily the most intriguing game, but it's highlighted because it's in prime time. Any early thoughts you see on this one with the Eagles laying 4 and the total a lower one at 43? I mean, is this just so ugly you want to stay away, or do you see any angle that you would particularly like?
Oh, man. I mean, how do you bet the Eagles right now? Like anything, right? They're so beat up. They're so injured. I mean, they're basically just Carson Wentz making a bunch of plays, which is great to bet on, right? I mean, I like Carson Wentz, and he's doing his absolute best. But, you know, if the Eagles wide receivers catch the football, you're like, sweet, they can easily cover this game. But we can't trust that's going to happen. So it's kind of tough for me to believe that we can bet on the Eagles right now.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, it's just such a gross team to look at in both sides, but it seems almost like a trap in a sense, because you see them going against the Giants in that short line of 4, and it seems intriguing, but if you have any speculation as at this point, do you think this line will just keep moving down with some action going to the Giants? Or do you think everybody, once they start paying attention, more of the public, you'll see that line go up because they'll look at the Eagles, and despite everything that they've endured, they're more grossed out, I guess, with the Giants, and that this one might tick up a tad bit?
I mean, I don't know if anyone likes any of these teams. I mean, I think that this game's in Philly too, right? So the Giants typically have not played well in Philly. I think the Giants' offensive line is way overmatched against the Eagles. I mean, I would probably lean Eagles here. I think the line, I'll open at, 6.5 now down to 4.
Yep.
I'd wait this out and see if it comes back down to the Eagles. Obviously, there's probably sharp money in the Giants right now, but the sharp money is going to stop at, 3.5?
Yeah, and that's what you'd have to really speculate at that point. Yeah, and so I think personally the angle I look at for this one is probably you have to just wait for some of these props to go out and really take advantage of it there. That's what we like to do a lot on this show, and I think that might be the best case scenario.
I think so as well.
All right, well, let's look at a game here where this is more of a fascinating spot, of course, with the Packers and the Texans. Now, you got to imagine a lot of the public's going to be going on the Packers here looking for a bounce back. We saw Green Bay open as a 3-point favorite. Now we see them laying 3 in the hook, minus 177 on the money line. Texans plus 155 on the money line. This total, a higher one of 56. So who do you side with here? Because we know that the Packers, despite what happened this past weekend, still have one of the best offenses in the league. But the Texans are somewhat of a reformed team potentially.
I think the Packers here, I mean, when you get embarrassed like they did on national television, right, there were two games on Sunday, and then one of them was the Jets and Dolphins in the afternoon slot, right? And they got embarrassed in the way that they did. I mean, Green Bay hard here. I mean, I think the Texans are, at least like efficiency-wise, their numbers aren't half bad for their record. That's mostly because they played a really tough schedule. But the Packers, they're going to be out for blood this game, man. I go with the Packers, I think, here.
Now, do you buy into the narrative potentially that this is somewhat of the same as last year where the Packers finally go up against a tough team and get exposed? Or is this just really a unique circumstance where the Tampa Bay defense just showed up? I mean, what can we expect from this Green Bay team going forward?
Look, I think it's clear now that when they get punched in the mouth by a team, they haven't responded very well, right? Look at the Niners last year. Look at the Bucs in this game. So I think you have to tread with caution. Like when they're clearly the physical superior team and they get a lead, they're really good. But when they're playing from behind, it's a physical unit. And remember, Tampa Bay's defense is really physical. Maybe it's offensive line is physical. They're just not, they're just having some ability to come back.
Former NFL offensive lineman Jeff Schwartz joining us here on Rush Hours. We're previewing NFL Week 7, specifically throughout the NFC North. Now, how about a team you're familiar with, the Detroit Lions on the road against the Atlanta Falcons? Detroit catching 2.5 in this spot, plus 120 on the money line, minus 136 for Atlanta. The total, another high one we see here, Jeff, at 56.5. Look, this Detroit team is talented. They got a nice dub this past weekend, but this is a tricky spot all around.
I was so in the Vikings last week. It's so funny. Historically, up until this year, we have not seen that bounce back with teams that fire coaches. Historically, against the spread, have been very bad. Now we've seen Houston, and now we've seen Atlanta both cover the games with their coaches out for the first time. I would lean toward Detroit here. I like Detroit a lot heading into the season. Obviously, didn't start terribly well, but played a really good game against a Jacksonville team that's not terribly good, obviously. I think that, you know, week one got everyone excited about Jacksonville. But obviously, in the end, they're not a good team. But they're healthy, which is important, obviously, right? Stafford looked kind of rejuvenated a little bit. I'd very much lean toward the Lions here in this game. I'm making a rule. I'm just not betting on the Falcons. Like, I'm just not doing it. They burned me too many times. I never trust them. I'm in the Lions here.
We've certainly got burned with Atlanta on this show as well. I mean, so many people have. It's just kind of the definition of insanity, expecting a different result with this team. And granted, it happened this past week, but it seems like when everyone wants to bet on them, they don't help you out. And that's just the case with Atlanta. And, you know, the unique thing with this team, Jeff, that we saw last year, of course, they flipped the script going to the latter half of the season and really were on a hot streak toward the end. Do you think this could be a similar case potentially this season? I mean, in your eyes, is there enough talent there? And I think the biggest concern would be defensively if they can hold up. Would that be something that would shock you if it happened?
You cut out there. Which team are you talking about?
For the Falcons, like they did last year when they went on a hot streak toward the end of the year. Yeah.
I guess they could, but I mean, look at their efficiency numbers. They're 25th and defense and 22nd. In DVOA. I mean, they play in a tough division. They still have Tampa twice, if I'm right on that, their schedule. They still have New Orleans, twice as well, right? I don't think they played either one of those teams yet. They still have a tough road coming down the stretch. They play the Chiefs still. Look at their schedule now. The Chargers, who are playing much better with Herbert. I don't see it, man. I just don't. I don't know if Dan Quinn, I don't think he was a problem. He was a problem, but they also just, I'm not sure that Raheem Morris just makes that big of a difference.
All right, well, let's move on to the aforementioned Chicago Bears Monday Night Football in Los Angeles against the Rams. The Rams opened up about a touchdown favorite. Total was at 47. This number's been creeping down in favor of Chicago, now catching 5.5, plus 205 on the money line for the Bears, minus 240 for the Rams. This total has dropped a tad bit from 47 to 45.5. You trust this Bears team as of now, or is it just you're waiting for them to kind of collapse despite their record?
Well, I mean, collapse is a strong word because they have a good defense, so they're not really going to collapse, I don't think. But offensively, they're just not very dynamic, right? I mean, they don't get a lot of explosive plays. I mean, they have to win games like they've won, right? 2019 and was it 23-13 or 23-16 on Sunday against the Panthers. Like that's the way they have to win games. And so the margin of error is very tough when you have to win games one specific way. Now, 5.5, 6 points they're getting against the Rams, who I really like them, but they just look bad against the 49ers. I don't know how much I should sell off the Rams now that after one poor performance. I just don't think the Bears are going to score much in this game, but it's a lot of that's a lot of points for a decent defense in the Bears. I lean the Bears here.
And so what are your thoughts? I mean, you talked about the offense. What are your thoughts on what Nick Foles been able to do so far? And then even with Nick Foles, how about Matt Nagy and what he's been able to do from the play calling standpoint? Have you been a fan of it? Kind of a little bearish on it. What are your thoughts?
I think Foles is just okay. Like at the best, he's okay. I never, after the Super Bowl run, he never was that guy for those two games, right? He had one game, I believe, and I think Pro Football Focus talked about this. He's had one game since 2013 where he graded like a 90. I don't know what their scale is. I guess 90 is good, or maybe it was above an 80, I think it was. Three games, I believe, since then. It was the two Super Bowl. It was the 2017 NFC Championship Super Bowl, and I believe the following year he had 400 yards against the Texans. He's not been that guy since then. So he's just a game manager. What he does well, and I'll give him some credit here, is that he runs what is called in the offense. So if Matt Nagy calls a play to go here and the coverage shows that, he throws the ball right there. And that's what Trubisky didn't do as well. So that's why the Bears, I think, just limited. And it's tough for me to bet on limited teams, especially when the Rams can do, run the ball, they can pass the ball, they can play defense. They're kind of more of a complete team.
Jeff Schwartz joining us here on Rush Hour, former NFL offensive lineman. You can also hear him on Sirius XM, their NFL channel, as well as Pac-12 Today, covering all aspects of football. Now, speaking of the NFC North, just kind of looking at the division odds and how they stack up as at this point, Jeff, we see the Packers, not shockingly, as the top favorite, -$2. The Bears at +170, the Lions at 20-1, and then the Vikings at the very bottom, who were the favorite to win the division. They're now at 66-1 to win the NFC North. In your eyes, is it the Packers all the way here, or any value with any of the other teams you'd potentially take a flyer on?
What's the Chicago number again? I was so shocked by the Vikings number now. I think it was 66-1 for the Vikings. What's the Bears number again?
Yeah, so the Bears are at +170, Lions 20-1, and then like we said, the Vikings at 66-1.
The Lions were my team this year where I was like, look, there's going to be, every year we see a worst to first team, and they were the best example, in my opinion, of the NFL, of a worst to first team, but, kind of had an injured quarterback last year, but man, I don't know if I could put money in the Lions right now. They're 2-3. The Packers are still going to win a lot of games. I think the play is still the Packers here. Again, the Packers aren't as good on defense as the Bears, but they have Rodgers, and he can make things happen. Foles is not making a lot of things happen, right? I mean, what did they scored, against the Colts, they scored, 11 points, and they scored 20 against the Bucks and 23 against the Panthers. Like, they're just not scoring points. I'm not betting on a team that can't score points in 2020 when scoring is up considerably. Now, I think they're coming back down a little bit. We saw some better defense in week 6, some more holding penalties, which helped bring that number back down. But in kind of an offensive boom in 2020, to not be able to score points doesn't really get me excited to bet you.
Yeah, I hear you, man. It's tough to take value with any other team, despite what happened with the Packers this past weekend. They still have one of the most dominant offenses in the NFL, and one that we're going to assume the Bears aren't going to be able to keep up with. I do want to ask you this before we let you go here. From just having so much experience in the league, now you transition to covering it and you bet it as well, and you like the handicapping side of it. I mean, this season's been so unique. Is there anything that you've taken away so far at this point in the season that you could offer as advice from both a player and a bettor with this weird situation both the players and the bettors are enduring? Is there anything you could offer for advice potentially?
I don't like betting overs, but I don't know why you would bet anything else right now. I mean, it's incredible, right? The scoring. I think we're seeing too that, teams are not outside of the Rams Bills game. I guess the Eagles came back this week. There's when teams just are bad on Sunday, they're just bad. Like they're not really like, if you start slow in games, how many teams have started slow and it just, obviously the Eagles covered this weekend, but they didn't win the game. The Rams came back against the Bills. Kind of like big deficits where a team just roared back to make the game close. We're not seeing a lot of that this year, right? We're seeing a lot of, if you're just bad that game, you're just bad that game. And I wonder if that affects the way we halftime bet or in-game bet, right? Just if you can get a better number and any of those opportunities, because we're just not seeing teams be able to come back this year.
Yeah, it really just has been so strange. I mean, is this a trend that you think is just going to continue? I mean, not only this season, but beyond?
I don't think so. I think we have more of a regular off season. It'll go back.
God, yeah, it will certainly be interesting to see how that affects everything going down in the road. Jeff, we, as always, appreciate the time, my man. And if you do end up taking a flyer with the Vikings or the Lions, we can't say we'll be rooting for you necessarily, but from a better perspective, we, of course, will give you a little cheers if it comes to fruition. Thanks again, my man.
All right. Take care, guys.
Bye. There he is, Jeff Schwartz. At Jeff Schwartz is where you can follow him on Twitter. Former NFL offensive lineman. Catch him on SiriusXM NFL and Pac-12 Today. I had to give a little grief because I know everybody out there, specifically watching the Marquee Sports Network, will be rooting for that Bears plus 170 to win the NFC North. Once again, those odds as they stack up. The Packers, of course, the favorite to win the division currently, minus 200. Chicago at plus 170. The Lions at 20-1. And then the lowly Vikings at the bottom at 66-1. And look, I agree with what Jeff said with the Lions, too. I thought this was going to be a team that, you know, would have a little bit better of a year. And offensively, they've been in those situations. They just haven't been able to hold on to those leads where they've had it in 14-0 multiple times and they've blown it. So, look, it'll be interesting to see how they stack up against the Falcons this weekend. Really, that's kind of an ugly game at this spot with Atlanta laying 2.5. But this total at 56.5, talking about it's hard to bet unders, that game is certainly going to be one of the tougher ones to look under in that spot based on how these offenses can move it. And defensively, more so on the side of the Falcons, how they're unable to really stop any momentum from the opposing offenses. All right, when we return here on Rush Hour, we'll do what we do best on a Tuesday and Wednesday. We kind of switch it up depending on the day, but we'll do a Rivers recap and see how the books and bettors fared here at the Bet Rivers Sportsbook. Back in action this weekend. Get ready for all the big games with Bet Rivers Sportsbook. Take advantage of the big return special. Make your first deposit of just $50 and get $100 in free bets in exchange. If you're already a member, you can enjoy all of our daily special bets exclusively on Bet Rivers mobile app. As always, get great customer service and only a one-time playthrough at Bet Rivers, your hometown sportsbook. First-time depositors and new users only. Must be 21, playable in Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. In Colorado, call 1-800-522-4700. Playable in New Jersey as Play Sugar House. Welcome back into Rush Hour, presented by Bet Rivers. Danny Burke with VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, live as always at the Bet Rivers Sportsbook in Des Plaines, Illinois. If you're ever coming down here, be sure to say what's up to myself and my producer, Doug Greenberg. We see the seats filling up now, anticipating the World Series game. Doug and I are excited for that, and we'll discuss this more so on the show later. We'll go over some of those first five inning props next segment, and Steve Mackinnon, Point Spread Weekly editor, will be kind of giving his probability on how this series could end exactly. So a lot of more interesting handicapping tools to help you out for the World Series game coming up later on the show. But for now, let's go ahead and go with the Rivers recap, where we take a look at how the book fared this past weekend in the NFL and how the bettors fared. So let's go ahead and start with that Bucs and Packers game, where the Packers just got absolutely dismantled by Tampa Bay in that defense. So this game specifically accounted for 15% of the total Week 6 NFL handle and was the most bet on game of the weekend. However, the Buccaneers received just 27% of the total game handle and 31% of total game bets. You know, a lot of the public was going on Green Bay in this spot, and they fall to Tampa Bay 38-10. Now, how about another game where pretty much all of the money was on one side, and you guessed it, it's against the Jets. And that's where the Dolphins get the win over the Jets 24-0. 91% of the total game handle back the Dolphins. And the Dolphins, they had the second strongest percentage of money line bets, being 94% of any Sunday side. The only one who topped them was the Giants money line with 95%, which is a little interesting to see. But so the Dolphins getting the win over the Jets 24-0. Naturally, most of the money was on Miami. Now, a little bit of the opposite case here with the Broncos and the Patriots. The Broncos, who closes about a 7-point favorite, plus 295 on the money line. They got that underdog win, as we know. And they only had 7% of money line bettors cash on that and just 13% of spread bettors. So all of the money was looking to go on New England. The books cashed out nicely on that one with Denver getting the win over New England 18-12. And then we move on to the Steelers and Browns. Now, this one was really fascinating for me because I personally stayed away from this game because it was teetering around that Steelers laying 4, 3.5 spot all throughout the week. And then it dropped down to 3 on Sunday. And that's when I jumped on that because if it was getting to that key number, which it did, I thought that was the right play. And clearly it was, as the Steelers get the win 38-7 over the Browns. And this was the third largest total stake of any Sunday game and the second most bets of any of the Sunday game as well. So as we know, the Steelers laying 3, minus 175 on the money line, had 70% of the money line handle and 72% of the spread handle. So most of the bettors fared out nicely in that victory by Pittsburgh, 38-7 over Cleveland. Now, how about between the Bears and the Panthers? Chicago getting a nice dub, 23-16. And so no early Sunday slate game had a larger percentage of the total NFL handle than the Bears catching one. Plus 110 money line, and the Panthers on the money line were minus 125. So no early Sunday game had a larger percentage of the total NFL handle than this matchup. And then when we see it with the specifics, 83% of the total money line handle and 64% of the spread handle was actually on the Bears. And a lot of the public put some late steam on the Panthers, actually, as it got up to about minus 2. So we know with the Bears, they're 5-1 overall, even though it might not feel like it per se. But 4-2 against the number, 2-4 with their over-under ratio. Like we said, they're catching 5.5 this week. Maybe they'll go to 5-2 ATS. Still no respect necessarily from the bookmakers on Chicago. Now, speaking of that Giants game, they get the narrow victory over Washington, 20-19. They had the largest percentage of any money line bet. Remember, 95% the total money line handle went to the Giants, minus 148. And then how about the Falcons and the Vikings? Bettors were back in Minnesota. They were minus 186 on the money line, laying 3.5, and that accounted for 68% of the total game handle. And in terms of the total, the over 54 hit with 80% of the total going to the over here. So bettors cashed out nicely on that high-scoring affair. And finally, the Lions and the Jags. The Lions laying 3 had the public backing in that direction. 72% of their money line handle at minus 159 and 83% of the money had the Lions laying 3 as they get the dub 34-16 over the Jaguars. All right, we're going to switch gears, go to the diamond. We're talking World Series prop bets when we return here on Rush Hour. Plus, Steve Mackinnon, editor of Point Spread Weekly, giving his thoughts on the game and college football too. Huge news, everybody. On Tuesday, October 27th, we will be live streaming the entire Circa Grand Opening event exclusively on VSiN.com. Starting at 10 p.m. Eastern Time and going all throughout the night, leading up to the first broadcast of Follow the Money from our new studios inside the Circa Sportsbook at 7 a.m. Eastern on Wednesday, October 28th. That's 12 hours, that's right, 12 hours of live insider coverage from the Circa Grand Opening event on the 27th and 28th, all for free on VSiN.com. Join Derek Stevens, Mike Palm, the VSiN team, and a guest list full of Las Vegas icons and celebrities for all the festivities, starting at 10 p.m. Eastern, all for free, only at VSiN.com. Welcome back into Rush Hour, presented by Bet Rivers. Danny Burke live here at the Bet Rivers Sportsbook in Des Plaines, Illinois, getting you geared up for Game 1 of the World Series and some college football and NFL week action coming up later throughout the week. But for tonight, let's go ahead and get you ready for tonight's main event with the Dodgers and the Rays. Before we get more into the full game spots like we love to do, let's take a look at some other areas that you can bet on, specifically throughout the first five inning props. And let's take a look at the first five money line. And this one has the Dodgers naturally as the favorite in this spot at about minus 177 at Bat Rivers. The Rays catching some plus money, plus 140. So throughout this postseason, the Rays on the first five money line are 8-5-1. So they've won eight, they've lost five of them, and they pushed one time. So 8-5-1 for the Rays on the money line in the first five innings throughout this postseason. But with Glasnow on the mound, now he's pitched in four games technically, but he started three where he's pitched at least five innings. And in those three where he's pitched at least five innings, he's gone 2-1 for the first five money line. Now the Dodgers on the other side with their first five money line, they're 6-3-3 this postseason. So I think the intriguing thing, which we'll get to in just a sec to point out, is that the Dodgers have had three pushes throughout this postseason throughout the first five innings. So 6-3-3 for the Dodgers money line first five. Now with Kershaw on the mound in three games started, he's gone 2-0-1 first five this postseason. We know he had quite the debacle in his last outing against the Braves, but that didn't really go to crap until the sixth inning. So 2-0-1 first five money line for Kershaw so far this postseason. The Rays plus 140, Dodgers minus 177 for first five money line. Now, if you look at another angle where it's the lead after the first five inning, that bet where it implements the tie, we talked about this last night. So the tie is plus 410. And in this spot, the Rays are getting better plus money at plus 185. The Dodgers a little bit better, too, going from 177 to minus 117. Now you get a better price because, of course, if it does tie, you don't get your money back. You lose the bet since the tie bet is available. And once again, the Rays plus 185 for the lead after five innings. The tie is plus 410, and the Dodgers minus 117. So we talk about ties. The Rays have only done this once throughout this postseason where they've had a tie game going after five innings. And the Dodgers, like we alluded to, have done that three times. So if you think that that could happen again, some good value here with the tie at plus 410. But if you're leaning toward the Rays or the Dodgers, plus 185 for the lead after five innings with Tampa Bay. And the Dodgers minus 117. All right, how about in terms of the spread, though, for the first five innings? The Rays catching a run and a half, but you're laying some juice, minus 215 in that spot if you're going that direction. The Dodgers laying a run and a half for first five. Some good plus money here, plus 170. The Rays have only not covered catching a run and a half. Now, they haven't been in that situation, per se, but as you look at the numbers, the only time they've been down by at least two throughout the first five innings in this postseason, it's only happened twice, and one of the times was with Glasnow on the mound, and that was against Houston where they were down 4-2 going into the sixth inning. So out of the two times it's happened, one was with Glasnow on the mound, who we know is going to be starting for the Rays tonight. So they're catching 1.5, minus 215 on the first five spread. Then you look at the Dodgers laying the run and a half at about plus 170. The Dodgers are 5-7 with a first five run line of laying 1.5. So this isn't saying that they've been that in every single game. Just saying, how many times have they won by at least two runs in the first five? They've only done it in five out of the 12 games so far this postseason. And actually, with Kershaw on the mound, they're 2-1 in this spot with the run line in the first five. So if you think that trend could continue potentially, then you're getting solid plus money with the Dodgers laying a run and a half, plus 170. Thing is here, you got to rely on those Dodgers bats to get off to a quick start. And we haven't seen that from time to time as of late against the Braves. Obviously, it's been very sporadic. But look, at the same time, too, we know all the woes that come with Kershaw in the playoffs, specifically in the World Series. His last outing when he got to the sixth inning, that's when he got shaky. Before that, it looked like he turned a new leaf. A lot of question marks in this game one. So for that reason, I would personally stay away just because a lot of question marks with Kershaw specifically. Glasnow, look, he's got high velocity. He can throw a lot of strikeouts, but what performance are you going to get from him? Because while he can bring the heat, a lot of contact gets hit on him as well. So once again, the Rays catching 1.5, minus 215 on the first five spread. Dodgers laying it, plus 170 if you want to lay the run and a half with Los Angeles. All right, now how about the total runs for the first five innings? This is always one I like to note out when we discuss these games. This one's a lower one at 3.5, shaded to the over minus 124. That's actually been bumping up a little bit throughout the day. I believe it's at about minus 134 now. Earlier, the under 3.5 was even money. So the Rays are actually 7-7 with this prop number posted. Once again, it's not saying that this is what it's been at every time, but how many times have they gone over and under the number of 3.5 in first five? They're dead even at 7-7. And the Dodgers are dead even as well at 6-6. But with Kershaw on the mound, they've hit this under two out of the three games he's pitched, where it's only gotten three. He had it in the first five against the Brewers, 3-0. 4-1 against the Padres. So that one obviously went over. And then against the Braves, remember, it didn't get loose until the sixth inning. It was 1-1 up until that point. With Glasnow on the other side, it was 8-2 after the first five innings against the Jays, 6-4 against the Yankees, and then 2-4, excuse me, versus the Astros. So each time Glasnow has pitched at least five innings, the first five total has gone over the mark of 3.5. So that is certainly the direction I would lean in that spot. It's been getting some attention in that way. So now it's at about, I believe, -134. But that's probably the best bet I would make throughout those would be the first five over 3.5. Not saying it is the best bet, but out of that category, that's the one I feel the strongest on. And really quick, another prop to note out for tonight, game one of the World Series. How about strikeouts thrown by the starting pitchers? Clayton Kershaw, his number at 6.5, the over -167, under +128. Throughout this postseason, he has 23 total strikeouts. He's thrown 13 versus the Brewers, 6 against the Padres, and then 4 against the Braves. So he's only gotten at least 7 in a game this playoffs just once so far. He had 62 strikeouts in the regular season. And then you look at the offense for the Rays. They have 52 strikeouts for Southpaws this postseason compared against 98 against righties. Granted, the sample size is obviously a little bit skewed. Then you look at Glasnow. He's also 6.5, the over -1.25, the under -103. He's got 25 Ks so far this postseason, 8 Ks versus the Jays in his first start, 10 versus the Yankees in his second. Then he went 2.1 innings pitched versus the Yankees and only got 2, then 5 in his last outing against the Astros. So he's only gone over this mark twice this postseason. So 6.5 for Glasnow, over -125, under -103. We'll discuss this game further when we return here on Rush Hour. Steve Mackinnon, editor of Point Spread Weekly, will not only discuss the World Series, but college football as well as we round out another edition of Rush Hour. Back in action this weekend. Get ready for all the big games with Bet Rivers Sportsbook. Take advantage of the big return special. Make your first deposit of $50 and get $100 in free bets in exchange. And if you're already a member, you can enjoy all our daily special bets exclusively on the Bet Rivers mobile app. As always, get great customer service and only a one-time playthrough at Bet Rivers, your hometown sportsbook. First-time depositors and new users only. Must be 21. Playable in Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. In Colorado, call 1-800-522-4700. Playable in New Jersey as Play Sugar House. Welcome back into Rush Hour, presented by Bet Rivers. Danny Burke with the Vegas Stats and Information Network, broadcasting live, as we always do, at the Bet Rivers Sportsbook in Des Plaines, Illinois. You can follow me on Twitter at DannyBurke5, the show at Beeson Live, and our next guest, Steve Mackinnon. You can follow him on Twitter at Steve Mackinnon. Plus, you can get all his great content and everybody else who contributes to Point Spread Weekly. Just go to Beeson.com/subscribe. They do a phenomenal job getting you geared up for anything and everything you would ever want to bet on. Great tools to get you prepared, trends, analysis, and more. And that's the main reason we're bringing our man Steve on right now. So, Steve, thanks for coming on Rush Hour. How are you doing this evening?
Hey, I'm doing great, Danny. Excited to be on the show. That Bet Rivers promo sounds like an automatic winner right off the bat, eh?
Not too shabby. Absolutely. Deposit the 50, get $100 in free bets. You can't beat it, my friend. And tonight could be a great opportunity, of course. We'll talk about the college football opportunity with those bets, too, because we are going to hit some college football with you with Big Ten back in action. But first, I want to start with the World Series, because you had a really great tweet. It was either today or the other day, but you had your MLB Power Ratings World Series odds. So I want you to explain this a little bit and how you got to these numbers. Now, this basically just comes out to the probability of what games or the exact games that Los Angeles could win in and the percentage of that happening as opposed to the percentage of Tampa Bay winning in a specific game. So how did you get to those numbers? And just speak a little bit more to that and what you would put your money on.
Yeah, well, basically what I did is I plugged my power ratings into the series, the projected pitchers, if I got those right, I'm assuming. And so far, I'm pretty good, looking pretty good on it. So Not really concerned about that area, but ran the odds for each game. Ran it through a calculator I have that predicts the series and the actual exact odds of for the games. And basically, I put out the tweet. The biggest chance is a Dodgers 4-2 win, and that was 19.7%. So I have odds for all 8 of the different options posted on my Twitter account, and should be an interesting series. And regardless of what the odds say.
Yeah, so we see that series price at about Los Angeles, minus $2 anywhere from up to there to minus 220. Tampa Bay getting some plus money at about plus 170 to plus 190. So you talk about the best percentages. Overall, you have Los Angeles 67.2% to win the World Series, Tampa Bay at about 32.8%. And then when you look at the exact series prices, like you alluded to, Los Angeles in sixth having the best probability, 19.7% chance. And if you want to bet that at Bet Rivers, currently that one's posted at plus 350. And then the next one, the next favorite, 19.2% is Los Angeles to win in five. And you can get that at 4-1 odds at Bet Rivers. Now, Steve, is this something that you're more focusing on, like right now, would you more so bet this before we start a game, or are you still going to take it on a game-to-game basis despite what your power ratings have said? Would you adjust those on a game-to-game basis and bet from that perspective too?
Well, I, as a better myself, I will bet the individual games, but I tend to, whatever I find in a series at the outset of it, I'll stick to that. I tend not to shift that because I find myself chasing quite often then. And in a lot of cases, you end up beating yourself twice. So I have my beliefs here at the beginning of the series. Again, 67.2% was that's about a -205 in actual odds. So if you're paying 215 for the Dodgers today, you're actually getting a pretty good price on that.
All right, then how about another unique bet you can look at? And obviously, I assume you would lean the way of the Dodgers here, but the spread for the series outcome, if you think the Dodgers win by at least two games, it's minus 112. If you think the Rays +1.5 for the series outcome, also minus 112. Would you go in the direction of Los Angeles there and lay the minus 112 for -1.5 for the spread series outcome?
Yeah, I would actually give that some pretty strong consideration here, only in the fact that I believe the Rays hitting has fallen off here. And I think that's a big edge that the Dodgers are going to have going into this series that gives them. And if you look at them as a 2-1 price, so the fact that they may be doing 4-2 rather than 4-3, it seems like a pretty good option there. Now on that page you're showing there, one of the odds that really intrigued me there was the 6-game option combined at plus 215. Because as I ran that, I had the Dodgers, like I said, 4-2 at 19.7. The Rays 4-2 at 10.6, so that equates to 31.3 when you combine the two of them, which is -210. -219. You're paying 215, so you're basically paying very little juice on that particular wager.
Yeah, so plus 215 if you think there's going to be six games exactly. Another good spot to look out for in this World Series between the Rays and the Dodgers. And before we move on here, I want to get your thoughts on MVP. For this World Series at Bet Rivers, we see Mookie Betts at about 8-1, and Tyler Glasnow at 9-1, Arozarena 10-1, along with Cody Bellinger, Clayton Kershaw, and Walker Buehler, and Corey Seager at 12-1, and Charlie Morton, as he rounds out the top of the list, more so at 15-1. Who do you like out of that list that you would maybe dabble with? And then I got to ask you, would Clayton Kershaw, if it's not him, would he maybe be worth it? I mean, it all comes down to this game, but this could be his chance to prove the haters wrong and how he struggled in the World Series.
Yeah, he's got a great opportunity here. I don't know anybody whose postseason career has been more broken down than his. So we'll see. You kind of root for him just in that regard. He's got a little bit of a Dan Marino type of history to him. But we'll see. Kind of get a pull for him. But if as far as myself, the MVP I'm looking at here is potentially Seager. He was the hot hitter in the basically in both the last two series for the Dodgers. I think he has 15 runs driven in that time. So he's been hot. He wasn't around in the 2018 series when the Dodgers struggled really badly hitting the ball. I think they had 180 in that series against the Red Sox, scored just 16 runs in the 5 games. So I like Seager's chances. Tampa Bay only brings the one real strong left-hander to the hill. So that shouldn't have a big impact on Seager series, but I would say he's pretty good value for the MVP honors.
Yeah, 12-1 for Corey Seager in that spot for World Series MVP. Certainly some good value and looking more so like a popular pick. So if you want to get that, be sure to get in on the action now. Corey Seager, 12-1 at Bet Rivers. And Steve, let's go ahead before we have to let you go and transition to the gridiron for some college football. I know you're doing a great write-up about stability scores and what that's determined by. And this really relates for college football. And you're doing a fantastic write-up specifically with the Big Ten coming back this week. So VSiN.com/subscribe to get Point Spread Weekly and a hold of that. A fantastic deal going out right now. So, Steve, I want to get you some time to talk about it. So just really give an overview of what the stability score is determining and how you got out to those numbers and who falls under a great betting category of it for this weekend.
Yeah, so my college football stability study, I've had this going on for about 10 years, gained some traction, pretty good traction earlier in the season, as I discussed it on several shows on VSiN. But it's basically a way of quantifying a program's stability heading into a season. I look at whether or not they have their head coach back, whether or not they have their coordinators back, how many starters they have back, and whether or not they got a returning quarterback starting. So I give a score to each of those particular factors, and I come up with one combined score for the team. And they range anywhere from 0 to 22, or 21, I'm sorry. And it just so happens that there are two teams this year, and one of them's just about to start here, that are the first ones ever in the last 10 years to have a score of 0. So the team you're going to want to watch out for is a very unstable program this year is Michigan State. That's going to be a tough situation for Mel Tucker in his first season. He's got very little returning experience back. And it's something that I point out in the article I'm running this week in Point Spread Weekly.
Yeah, so and then you look at their matchup against Rutgers to open the Big Ten play. They're laying 12.5 currently. Michigan State is against the Scarlet Knights. Total at 44.5 in this spot. So you give the stability advantage of 7 to Rutgers. So is that just almost an automatic play for you when you see a discrepancy that big, specifically with a team who hasn't been in that type of situation recently?
Well, it's an automatic play for me in the fact that Michigan State's at 0. So like I said, Florida Atlantic was the other team this year that is 0. Those are the first two teams ever to have a 0 in this grade, the scale that I've had. And the Florida Atlantic has only gotten one game in, I think. They won without covering, so they're 0-1 against the spread, contributed to another good win for the system. So Michigan State is an automatic. The interesting thing about Rutgers is I have several systems that will be running in my in this week's release of the College Football Betting Guide Volume 2 that will show that Rutgers actually maybe has a few reasons to be excited for the season. I know that the COVID thing kind of wore off some of that excitement, but Greg Schiano's back. There was a lot of juice heading into this program into the season. And we'll see. I think that line's a little bigger than I'd like to see it if I were a Michigan State fan.
All right, Steve, we love your analysis as always. Be sure to check out more of the content to get a deeper read and feel to make you a better handicapper. VSiN.com/subscribe. Steve, really appreciate the time. Look forward to talking again soon.
Sounds good, Danny. Great to be with you.
As always, Steve Mackinnon at Steve Mackinnon on Twitter. Once again, guys, Point Spread Weekly, VSiN.com/subscribe. Not only do you get that, daily email summarizing the best bets from hosts, guests, analysts, and much more. Just go to VSiN.com/subscribe. Another spot really quick that he had in college football, the low stability for the Big Ten. Michigan State had 0. The high one, Purdue had 18. So they're catching 3.5 this weekend against Iowa. That'll be a fun one to get into. Really quick, some closing lines. The Dodgers looking like they're going to close as a minus 165 favorite, plus 143 on the buyback for the Rays. Total in this one at 7.5, shaded a tad bit to the under, minus 113. Oh, and that's right. I promised you a couple of my, well, just one best bet for the NFL. I'm doing a teaser, a six-point teaser, teasing down the Saints this weekend and teasing down the Chargers as well. So hopping on that early before the line moves. Be sure to get your bets in now for the World Series game. Best of luck with them. We'll catch you tomorrow. More World Series and NFL talk here on Rush Hour.